Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We have begun the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I've been giving some scratch-offs away, some lucky 10,000s, no lucky 1.1 billions. You got to be in Illinois for that. I'll be talking to John Martin later on in the week. We're also with our friends at Goodwill. I'm rocking my Window Nation shirt as well. It's buy two, get two free here the entire month of August. It's my month. That's what I did. I'm getting my windows installed later on this month. We're looking forward to that, as well as the Restaurant Association of Maryland reminding you about Restaurant Week next month. I'll be telling you about that each and every day as I eat crab cakes and drink beer all over the state. Day one. Right, local, Towson. We're going to say Towson and White Marsh. We're going to be at the Conrad Seafood Market in Joppa Road, not Bel Air Road, not in Bel Air. We're right in Towson. Stop by and say hello. We're also going to be at Red Brick Station on day one in White Marsh. You're going all over the state. Luke Jones joins us now. He is going all over Owings Mills from 795 downtown and back again. The Orioles a little out-of-town action in Cincinnati over the weekend. Gave Luke a chance to go out there and see Lamar twirl those pretty balls. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's throwing the ball better. It must be like it must have been July. It must be early August right now. We're all optimistic, right?
Yeah. Well, and I laugh because I go back to 2019. I mean, that was really the first year where it's like, okay, Joe Flacco's gone. Lamar Jackson's the quarterback. And ever since then, and keep in mind, I mean, he had a very good training camp that year. I kind of laugh at these day-to-day almost feels like referendums because I think Lamar almost always looks good in training camp. And but, you know, you're hearing a lot, and Greg Roman said this is the best he thinks he's seen him throw the ball, which, hey, I'll take Greg Roman's opinion over my own. But, you know, there's, as you just said, this is the season of optimism, right? I mean, I saw someone on Twitter the other day say that every player in the NFL looks great right now, and every team's making the playoffs. So you have plenty of that. But Lamar Jackson looks good. There's no question about that. Certainly bigger. In fact, as the Ravens had their stadium practice and he did a little hit with NFL Network, he says he's up to 230 pounds, which, you know, I mean, he's carrying it well. At the same time, I am curious what impact that has on his speed, which we know is his generational skill. But that aside, it's been a good start for him. And really for the Ravens, it's been a good start to camp. I think the one word that I would use to describe this opening week of training camp, as the pads will now come on after getting a respite on Sunday after the stadium practice, is uneventful. And that's a good thing, mind you. There hasn't been Lamar Jackson showing up and having COVID on day one. There hasn't been.
They've already had a guy have a drug overdose. You know, one of the real players. You know, yeah. That's already happened this summer. So, like, they don't need any. They don't need anything. And they had nothing but injuries last year all during the season. I mean, a couple of days, fine, but it won't be uneventful. I mean, the camp will not. It just never is, right? Over 31 days, some guy they don't want to lose, something bad's going to happen. He won't be available for the Jets.
But yeah,
that's the way these games are. That's why they play three instead of four now, I guess.
Well, but guys get hurt during practice as well. I mean, Marcus Peters and Gus Edwards got hurt almost on back-to-back kind of reps last September.
How about Ryan Jensen last week, our pal down at Tampa?
Sure. So the point I was making, and Jalen Ferguson, you know, I mean, that goes so far beyond football, of course. But as far as the first 4 days of practice, it's been uneventful from the standpoint of you haven't had any, barely, dare I say, even moderate injuries. I mean, Devin Duvernay, a little bit of a thigh bruise and a collision with Chuck Clark on Saturday night. But other than that, really, the only guys they're waiting on are other than the guys that are coming back from injuries from last year, and they're slow playing those guys on the PUP list. It's Ben Cleveland, who hasn't passed his conditioning test, which, not a great look for him in a left guard competition, but we've seen this before. We've seen some guys struggle to pass the conditioning test early on. And the other one is one of the rookie tight ends, Charlie Kohler, having sports hernia surgery, which was something that lingered for him going back to his college days and is not an uncommon occurrence. So it's been quiet on the injury front, which is good. You'll take as much of that as you can. To your point, it's not going to stay like that forever. You know, you'll have some guys get hurt, and ultimately, you know, that risk becomes a little more heightened this week as the pads come on. And for me, this is when training camp really starts. I mean, those early days of camp, very OTA-like, right? I mean, it's a slow ramp up. no contact. They're not wearing pads. No more two-a-days. I mean, it's not really the start of... Yeah, exactly. And again, that's fine. I'm not criticizing that, but that's where I look at these early, you know, the early observations, who's playing well, who's practicing poorly and all that. And I just kind of say, okay, this is when business really picks up. To quote the great Jim Ross, you know, business is about to pick up when the pads come on. Because, and Harbaugh even talked about this on Saturday night, there's that mental aspect of the threat of contact. Cam Cameron, I remember saying that years and years ago when he was asked about, was it Tandon Doss, one of their young wide receivers at the time. And he said, the threat of contact is really a game changer as far as guys that can make a name for themselves after a little bit of a quiet start, or those guys who really shine practicing in shorts, and then you put the pads on and suddenly it's not there for them in the same way. So it's a separator. I mean, that's really what I view it as. And it doesn't mean that anything's going to change dramatically, but certain players, you know, whether you're talking about linemen, whether you're talking about a certain linebacker, a safety, whoever it might be, will shine a little more with the opportunity to go out there and hit somebody. On the flip side, some guys that, let's face it, maybe aren't quite as physical in the style of their play, you introduce that threat of contact and suddenly you get alligator arms going over the middle, or you know, you don't make that play that when you're just, you know, kind of playing two-hand touch, the whistle blows. So, you know, not that we're going to see a lot of live contact. You really don't see too much tackling to the ground anymore, especially with the veteran players. And that's been the case for years with a John Harbaugh training camp. But again, you introduce that physicality, you introduce just wearing the pads, you know, it's more equipment, you're a little bit bigger, and you want to see who continues to move well, who continues to make plays, and who continues to stack quality performances. So that's for me where, you know, these early days, great, no problem, good that you stayed healthy, good that you got timing and you worked on reps and you installed, but now the competition certainly ramps up.
He's Luke Jones. He is ramping up all things here August as the Orioles ramp up to get back home over the weekend, and the Ravens will be playing three preseason games, two at home. I don't know who's stuck with these tickets or certainly watching the Phoenix game in a couple of weeks, but I guess this is the part where you being the beat reporter and me being the non-beat reporter says, well, you know, what are they ramping up? What are they really going to do here in these preseason games? Because I don't think anybody knows. I'm not sure that John really knows, but I know these things have been detrimental across the league. They've taken away 25% of them, unless you're playing in one of these goofy Hall of Fame games here this week. And trying to figure out meshing these players, getting them to play on the practice field. You got a rookie center, right? I mean, you got guys that you want to get out, get some real reps. You don't have the Eagles coming in or the Rams coming in or the Jaguars coming in. We're not going to play hokey pokey in these practice games. So this is a different kind of camp, I think, for the Ravens to figure out continuity as much as anything, especially when they didn't play together as a unit the last half of last year.
Yeah, no question about it. And you're trying to find out about the rookies, the young guys, obviously. I mean, that's the captain obvious part of this, right? The young guys are going to play in the preseason because someone has to play, right? And it's not going to be Lamar Jackson and those types of guys. I mean, I'm guessing we're not going to see most veteran players. I think the ones you will see are guys that are, frankly, trying to make the club, or they're trying to fill a key role. Like a great example that of that might be Juwan James. You know, he's played very little football over the last few years. And right now he's looking like the top candidate to be the swing tackle, you know, the backup to Ronnie Stanley. You hope backup for Ronnie Stanley.
I was getting ready to say, who's the left tackle?
Exactly.
Are we really sure that on September 11th, Ronnie Stanley's going to step out there? I mean, where's he in all of this? We talk Lamar,
right.
contract, fine, but where's Ronnie Stanley? That's almost as important to me as Lamar at this point.
Sure. I mean, there's always going to be unknown until he's out there and he's responding well and he's playing well and he's moving well and the ankle's holding up after one day of practice, 2 days of practice, 3 days of practice. To this point, knowing it's early August, knowing all along that they weren't going to put him out there for the first day of training camp. They're just not going to do that with these veteran guys. However, when he does get out there, whether it's, you know, August 10th, August 13th, August 15th, whatever it is, somewhere in that neighborhood, most likely, because you do want him to be able to stack 2 to 3 weeks worth of practices at this point in time. The question for me is going to be, what does the range of motion for the ankle look like? How's the ankle holding up after practicing multiple days in a row? How is he moving? I mean, footwork kind of important for an offensive lineman. I mean, there's no question about that. So to this point, at this stage of the game, they say he's in good shape. He's been out on the field observing. He looks good. You know, he doesn't look like he's carrying extra weight, anything like that. So the body composition looks good. I think there is genuine increased optimism at this point compared to where they were at this point last year, which keep in mind, in early August last year, they had every expectation Ronnie Stanley was going to play. And then he got back out on the field and week one happened. And we saw that he wasn't even close to Ronnie Stanley. So you know, I'm not going to sit here with 100% certainty and say that everything's going to be perfectly fine there and he's going to be the 2019 version of Ronnie Stanley, but it does seem like he's close to getting back on the field. It does seem like there is more optimism than there was a year ago, which maybe last year there was a little more bravado, unknown. Keep in mind, he had another procedure in August, or not August, October of last fall when it was deemed that his ankle just wasn't right for him to try to play at that point. So you hope this is it, and you hope that he gets back out there and he's Ronnie Stanley. But until he gets out there, until we can answer those questions, we are seeing Morgan Moses at right tackle, which we expected all along when they signed him in March. And we've seen Juwan James almost exclusively working as the first team left tackle. So you know, you want to see if Juwan James can handle that. Because like I said, he's played three games since the end of the 2018 season. You know, he opted out during COVID in 2020. And in 2021, tore his Achilles. The Broncos said goodbye to him, and the Ravens signed him to rehab last year. And he practiced for about 5 minutes last December. So, you know, there's a lot of unknown with guys like that. So, you know, all the rookies, all the fringe bubble type players. You know, you look at the offensive tackle position. You look at edge rusher right now, knowing that they're waiting on Bowser, knowing that Ojabo is going to be later in the season, you know, in a best case scenario. So, you know, you have all those spots. Wide receiver is a position that I think we'll see guys play in the preseason because, quite frankly, you got to find out about these guys. So, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, we're not going to see Lamar Jackson. You know, I'd be stunned if we saw him, but I think we're going to have to see some of these wide receivers because, you know, Tylan Wallace isn't proven. You know, even though he might be fourth on the depth chart.
Throw him the ball if it's not Lamar?
Well, it'll be Tyler Huntley.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, and he's an NFL backup quarterback. So, I mean, you've got to get.
I just don't think you learn much is my point. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess you don't, right? Go ahead.
No, but you are in these practices. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, that's where these practices become more important. And, you know, that's why. You know, we've seen in recent years now, they're not doing it this year with the joint practices, but in recent years, they've talked about these joint practices kind of giving them more value in terms of learning about certain guys because it's a more controlled environment. You know, you can play thud with competition that doesn't know your playbook and doesn't know your players quite as well and all that. So that's where I was a little bit surprised that they decided not to do joint practices because you're seeing plenty of other teams around the league do that. I mean, you know, it's something that went on hiatus with COVID, but certainly
didn't love them, did he? Maybe with his brother, he loved them. But
certain years he has. Others, not so much. Yeah. I think the year that really resonates with me that he did not like was the Philly year when Chip Kelly was still was the head coach there, and
that was a long time ago, right?
It was.
I mean,
that was
won a Super Bowl since then.
That was 2015, I think it was. And see, the issue was the perception was that Chip Kelly had went all out to really try to beat the Ravens instead of kind of having the understanding that this is practice. That went for the practices and the game. If you recall, the Ravens got probably one of the very last games the Ravens have lost in the preseason because we know they have that long streak that everyone gets excited about in August and then forgets about 2 weeks later. But
well, you just reminded me because it's August that they have this.
Yeah.
How many is it? It's like 50, it's a lot.
It's 20 in a row, right?
20. I mean,
it's,
okay.
Yeah. And to be clear, I'm poking fun at people getting excited about that. But to John Harbaugh's credit, and I've heard some people say this, they've never treated that in a way that they play their starters way more than other teams or anything like that. I've said all along, for me, that 20-game winning streak in the preseason has been about their defensive depth. Look at them in the second half of those games. Their defensive players have just smothered. You know, their second and third team defensive players have been way better than the opposition second and third team guys over the years, which, okay, what does that mean in the big picture? Well, know, they've only won one playoff game since 2014.
Last year we had to play with the whole second team. We saw how that went, right?
Sure, sure. So, you know, it doesn't mean a whole lot other than I think it is a credit to their scouting staff that they have brought in very competitive defensive players. And that's kind of been what has shown up in those preseason games. But
to me, the credit to their scouting has been how many Priest Holmes have gone off and done other things. I'm just using, that's a 20-year example, but how many players, John Simons, can't make it here and they go on and they figure it out, that they have managed to get good football players, no matter, even if they can't get them on the field, guys wind up leaving and getting on the field elsewhere. And we wind up seeing him in another jersey, Ryan Jensen being a guy who made millions of dollars, but they've done better with that. There's more ex-Ravens, it feels like, in the last 15 years that you see in other jerseys than necessarily other players. That and I noticed that. How many times a guy goes off to Detroit and extends his career, even though he was a fifth or sixth round draft pick? Kyle Juszczyk, there's a great example of another. Been gone so long, we forgot he was here. But they've sprinkled guys all over the league. They don't keep their own. And that this is the time of the year to see that they get good football players.
Yeah, and I think the 2000, go look at that 2018 draft, the last Ozzie Newsome draft. I mean, of course, we're going to focus on Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews, but now look at guys that are elsewhere. I mean, Bradley Bozeman, Orlando Brown, you know, traded to Kansas City, and looks like he's finally going to show up at Chiefs camp and play on the franchise tag, the way it sounds, you know, as of early Monday morning anyway. But you go down the list. I mean, even Zach Sealer, who was Ozzie Newsome's very last draft pick, has played in the league elsewhere, but he's been a player and has actually started games and played. And,
you know, and he was the reason they won the second half of some of those preseason games.
Yeah, yeah. Right? So again, not to dwell on that point too much, but you do get something out of these preseason games. It's just not what warrants the prices that fans pay, what warrants those games being a big part of the TV deal. I mean, think about it. The Ravens and the Cardinals are going to play this nationally televised Sunday night game. They're going to talk about Hollywood Brown going up against his old team. And, well, I'm guessing any relevant players that might be covering Hollywood Brown, or even Hollywood Brown himself, probably aren't going to play. Or if any of them do, it's going to be for a couple plays and that's it. I mean, that's how little we're talking about it. So it's about the young guys. It's about finding out about your backups. It's about finding out about left guard, a perfect example. I mentioned Ben Cleveland a few minutes ago.
I was going to mention him because we've mentioned him now and mentioned him. He's on the wrong side of the tracks. He's a fan favorite. He was a Man Mountain guy. Is he going to play?
Well, that's what's tough. That's, for me, one of the more frustrating elements of their offense has been, look at the mid-round picks they've used. You know, Tyree Phillips, you know, go back. Let's start with Ben Powers in 2019, who, you know, Greg Roman said on Friday is probably in the lead right now for the left guard spot. But here's the problem. He's in the last year of his rookie deal and he's never really established himself. He's a guy that raises your floor, but he's not your ceiling guy out there. You know, he's been okay at left guard, but he's kind of been a de facto starter for them the last couple of years. You know, Tyree Phillips has flashed. I think they like him, but hasn't shown an ability to stay on the field. You know, Ben Cleveland, they drafted in the third round last year. I mean, hey, Ben Bredesen, they drafted 2 years ago in the fourth round, and he's already long since been traded. So they've invested some meaningful capital at left guard, and the last couple of years, you know, they're still waiting on a return there. So I don't want to bury Ben Cleveland, but you can't get on the field for the conditioning test early on. And, you know, that's kind of coming off of a year where you struggled to stay on the field and, you know, kind of an underwhelming spring. You know, he wasn't really looking like much of a factor as, you know, he wasn't rotating as the first team left guard in the spring. So, you know, you're kind of looking at that position and say, hey, someone's got to step up there. You don't want it to just be Ben Powers because, well, he kind of is the most experienced guy. And so that's where we are right now, because for one, as I mentioned, last year of his rookie deal, he's making roughly $2.5 million. He's the kind of guy that theoretically you'd probably like to move on from and go younger and cheaper and more club control with some of these other young guys. But if he's the best one and the other guys don't step forward, then you need to hang on to him. So, you know, that's what you're kind of looking at. To go back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, if Ronnie Stanley's right, the questions about left guard are mitigated, right? You're not as concerned about that. You're not as concerned about Tyler Linderbaum being a rookie center if you have Ronnie Stanley at left tackle. So every other question on that offensive line, which it's improved, and I commend them on the work that they did in the offseason to improve their offensive line depth, but it still hinges on Ronnie Stanley being out there. All those other problems or questions or position battles don't feel nearly as significant if Stanley's out there and he's right, because then you have an all-pro caliber left tackle. So everything else feels better then. If you don't have him out there, then you're asking, okay, left tackle, that's not as good, but then what's left guard going to look like? What impact does that have on a rookie center who is very talented, but he's still a rookie and he's still going to have some, he'll have some growing pains from time to time. So, right now the right side looks good, right? You have Kevin Zeitler at right guard and you have Morgan Moses at right tackle. They feel rock solid about those two guys
to me. I just want to say that out loud. It feels
that's fair. That's fair. Although I would also say offensive linemen generally, especially if they're of a certain ilk, they do generally age better, especially if they've avoided serious injuries. Morgan Moses, very durable. Kevin Zeitler, very durable. So that's where you do look at that and say, okay, feels better. But you're right. It is a little bit older, but you want to feel that good. You want to feel that much better about the left side. But until we see Stanley, until we see someone emerge to be the left guard, until we see Tyler Linderbaum continue to stack good practice after good practice after good practice, that's where you do still have question marks, because we can talk about Lamar. We can talk about the running backs. We can talk about wide receiver. I mean, we've talked a lot about wide receiver. We'll continue to talk about wide receiver. We can talk about these new rookie tight ends behind Mark Andrews. The offensive line still remains the biggest key. Everything else, including Lamar Jackson's play, is impacted dramatically by how this offensive line looks and how healthy it is going into the season. So I don't say that to say that it's a gloom and doom picture right now, but it's just unknown until Stanley gets out there and until we see someone hopefully really seize that left guard job. So Ben Cleveland hasn't been out there over the first week. So he hasn't even been, we can't even talk about him right now. So far it's been between Ben Powers and Tyree Phillips. And as I mentioned, Roman said Powers probably in the lead, but I would also say whoever's leading in late July and early August, that doesn't mean they're going to be starting against the Jets on September 11th. So long way to go for that position battle, as well as some of the others on either side of the ball.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Luke and I will continue to talk football. We'll continue to talk baseball as the Orioles surge. Lots and lots of great guests this week. Tyrone Muggsy Bogues is going to be on the program this week. We'll have a little basketball. Had Don Chaney on this week as well, talking about the heart issues and different things like that. Apparently, Don Chaney and Robbie from Robbie's First Base, old mates. I did not know that till I had him on. So shout out to Robbie out on Ridgely, York and Ridgely Road as well. You can find me on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all week long. I'm going all over the state. I'm going to be in Anne Arundel County on Tuesday. We're going to be out west by Friday. We're going to be in Frederick. We're going to be going to Deep Creek over the weekend. It is a big, big week here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill, our friends at Window Nation. I got my Window Nation shirt here. I'm rocking my peace sign. It's buy two, get two free in August. I'm doing that as well. You'll be hearing that at WNST as well as our friends at Restaurant Week. Next month, got Restaurant Week all over the state. I'm going out, going to sample some crab cakes. I think my wife's going to get some pork chops and some chicken hitos before it's all over with. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We're around. He's Baltimore Luke, and easy to find at on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, social media, following the Orioles and the trading deadline. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.